So Harry just stepped outside, but he's here. So we're waiting for Marcy, Molly, and Larry, and we expect all of them to be here. But I thought we would get started. We do have members of the public that are here, and some may wish to make comments. So Snay, if you could call the roll.
Bill Amber.
Present.
Marcy Edelman. Michelle Sadam.
Here.
Michael Costa.
Here.
Scott Heitzuka.
Here.
Perry Lang.
He's here.
Tommy Mecca.
Here.
Ashley McCumber.
Here.
Daniel Redney.
Here.
Jorge Rodriguez.
Here.
Koshik Roy.
Here.
Larry Saxon.
I'm here.
Molly Steiner. Joyce Pearson.
Okay. Welcome, everybody. Let's see. So, is there any public comment for items not on the agenda? So, normally the rule is first we take public comment for items not on the agenda, and since the discussion of the final report is on the agenda, technically you wouldn't be able to use this part of the agenda to talk about it, but I think it's fine. So if the intent is to, if you want to speak now and address the task force for up to 3 minutes, you can address us now if you need to leave. If you want to wait, then the task force is going to discuss a couple of amendments that were suggested, and we'll have our discussion, and then the public will have a chance to make comment at that time, too. So you really have your choice. That's okay with the rest of the task force, just in case anyone has to go. So is there any member of the public that would like to speak now, or would you like to wait until? Yes, sir.
Yes. May I stand?
Absolutely.
Yeah, watch your head.
Thank you.
And you're welcome to introduce yourself and identify yourself by name, but you're not required to do so.
I understand. Thank you, Bill. My name is John Alex Lowell. I serve on an equivalent citizen advisory committee called the Pedestrian Safety Advisory Committee. In particular, at the assignment of the Board of Supervisors, I represent the pedestrian safety needs of seniors and people with disabilities who travel as a pedestrian in San Francisco. So that is a role I hold. I have cards. I can leave here because I will depart at 5:30 to go to that meeting in City Hall at 6 o'clock. The second point I bring up is I have lent it to a journalist in the room, Matthew, from the Bay Area Reporter, my cousin, Carolyn Cole, who teaches filmmaking at Cal State Fullerton, created a documentary about what the LA County had constructed with city money, a gay senior apartment building in LA called the Pink Triangle. So Matthew has the copy I was given as her relative of A Place to Live, the Triangle Square. So a trailer of that is available if you haven't seen it. If you ask me, I can email or you can Google it. You can find it to watch it. If you ask me, I can loan this to you after Matthew's finished with it.
The name of the documentary is what?
A Place to Live.
A Place to Live. Thank you.
You can also Netflix it or look who else has it available to rent.
Thank
you. I would loan this to you.
Great, thank you. And we did, just so you know, we did have one of our members did a presentation about some of the work being done in Los Angeles, and I know we heard about some of the housing things that were being done.
And there's seven narratives, and it follows the timeline of seven applicants to that housing center.
Great.
And there's some actors in it. It's got a touch of Hollywood actor.
Well, it is LA.
Yeah, it is.
All right, well, thank you very much. Are there any other members of the public that would like to address us now? Yes, Ray.
I'm going to make
Ray
a
Rudolph.
Quick comment to all of you. Some of you know me, others of you don't. But you may have seen me sitting here in the shadows. Basically, I just wanted to say that this you should all be really proud of yourselves. I read the draft report. I think it's inspiring, it's groundbreaking, and it's going to make a real difference to not only seniors in San Francisco, but younger people, everybody here. And I was on a committee at the LGBT Advisory Committee to the Human Rights Commission when Bill came in and hatched this idea. And we went to the various stages, and we sat in Supervisor Lunier's office in Campos and Lagi, and I unfortunately had to step back because of health issues. But I just think you should all really pat yourselves on the back. This is about now. I know it's been a struggle. There's been probably births and deaths, I know, and all kinds of things going on over the past 18 months. So I've been a very interested participant observer in the background, and I think you did a fabulous, great, great, great job. This will be very groundbreaking, and this will be very meaningful to everybody in San Francisco. So I'm very, very happy to be able to compliment you on that, every single one of you. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you.
And you've all probably remember me saying this before, but we all owe a debt of gratitude to Ray, because when I joined the discussion at the LGBT Advisory Committee for the Human Rights Commission, we were starting our second year of looking at senior issues, and Ray was the one who started the first year of looking at senior issues the year before I even joined the advisory committee. So it was a discussion, you know, that the community started through Ray. He's a longtime, loyal, dedicated volunteer at Open House, and has been involved in lobbying for 55 Laguna and, you know, many different projects with Open House. And that's really how I met him, was as, you know, a volunteer for Open House. And you really actually introduced me to Open House. So I just want to make sure that Ray's role in all of this is acknowledged. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to join us on this task force itself because, as you said, some personal issues. But the fact that we have this report is, I think, just as much a testament to what Ray has done as to anybody else on this task force. So thank you for coming. Thank you for speaking. Okay, any other public comment before we get on with the agenda? Okay, so this public comment is closed. So we just have one brief item, which is to approve the February 11th minutes. Does anybody have any corrections or additions for the February 11th minutes? Okay, seeing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So
okay, Larry moved,
second.
And Ashley seconded. Is there any public comment on the minutes? Okay, seeing none, there's a motion to approve. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Okay, minutes are approved. Thank you very much. Okay, item number 5, discussion and possible action regarding final report. So I just wanted to say a couple preliminary things. First of all, I want to thank Diana Jensen, who's here with us, and also Tom Nolan, who is in Washington on a Muni-related conference. And at the same time, I also want to thank the task force members, because most of all of the content in the report was written by task force members. Diana and Tom have been incredibly instrumental in helping to edit and make superficial changes, but structural changes. But the substance has been, for probably 90% of the substance has been drafted by task force members, and I think that's really important for me to point out and for all of us to take pride in, that you know, we didn't turn this over to staff people to write this for us. We did have incredible help from staff people, but we wrote this ourselves. And I think that's, you know, I think we should get the credit that we deserve for that. So thank you all. And I think the only reason we could write it ourselves was because of the work that was done in the work groups and writing the recommendations up in the work group process. That's the only way we could have gotten to this report draft, is through all of those efforts. So I wanted to thank all of you very much. Having said that, so we have two members are offering amendments. I want to give Larry a chance to, if you could just maybe take 5 minutes to talk about the financial literacy piece. And Larry offered some amendments, which are really just correcting typos.
Yeah.
And then Jorge offered some substantive comments that we will discuss. So Larry, if you could maybe just present this section. So this is a section that we agreed we would adopt a recommendation on financial literacy, and Larry offered to write it up. So this is the first time that we're discussing this particular piece.
Thank you, Bill. And thank you, Task Force members, for allowing me the opportunity to offer this input to the overall document. This section deals specifically with the need to assist the LGBT senior population with what we're defining as financial literacy. But first of all, I want to come out and say we need to dispel some assumptions. Sometimes when you hear the phrase financial literacy, people presuppose that our target population, us, are financially illiterate. That's not the issue. The issue is that all of us can learn to budget better. And San Francisco is a bit of an unusual city because, as you know, the Brookings Institute just decided this year this is the most expensive city in America to live in. So if you don't know how to handle your money in San Francisco, as Tommy has shown with a lot of the eviction-related issues, you're out of here. With the convergence of the expenses rising in San Francisco and the diminution of the income of seniors in San Francisco, it's a deadly combination. So having said that, just to contextualize where I'm coming from, we agreed that there needs to be a resource in San Francisco that's going to assist LGBT seniors who are on limited income, because again, our emphasis is primarily looking at low-income seniors. We're trying to learn how to handle the challenges of having a limited income and dealing with San Francisco. So another myth that should be dispelled is that poor folk can't save. They can save. They just need to be shown how to save. The Urban Institute is one of the primary sources that I got most of the data here. And as you notice, this is very well cited because this is somewhat of a volatile emotional issue. And I wanted to make sure that when the general public read this, they don't just see that this is the task force's opinion, but this is cited information according to some of the better sources in America. And I think just one statistic that stands out is 40% of Americans live off of 110% of their income. So most of us in America are in the hole. So that phrase that we hear about one check away from poverty, well, with our community, it's a quarter of a check away from poverty. Issues like not having grocery stores within a lot of the poorer communities where a lot of our folk are having to live. And I use one neighborhood in particular, the Tenderloin, because I thought the Tenderloin was a really apt example. Where's Safeway? Where's Albertson? Where are the large stores where you can buy high quality food in bulk? Where are the banks? What AARP's research showed is that our folk have a tendency to be what's called either underbanked, meaning not using enough banking institution privileges, or non-banked at all. And what they do instead is they go to check cashing places, which can charge up to 30% or more of the value of the check just to give you your money. So that's a part of financial literacy also, is teaching people to use the institutions that are already available. And then just to wrap this up, there are, I'll cut to the chase, there's best practices in other cities in America We're public assistance organizations, like the Department of Social Services, have shown some real effective potential in helping people learn to save money. And in our case, where our LGBT seniors who are on limited income are recipients of public assistance funds, they're a captive audience. You know, if you go in periodically for your eligibility review, why can't some of those agencies also offer financial literacy training like HUD does with people who live in the HUD-related housing? So the bottom line is that the research shows that there are a number of individual agencies, nonprofits primarily, and for-profit, Chase, Capital One credit card, Visa, who offer these services. But there's no centralized place for our folk to go. And also, if there were a centralized place, we get back to the original argument that we had, the challenge that we had before, is that there's no compelling evidence that shows that those resources are LGBTQ senior friendly. So if we had a place of our own, for example, that could help our folks with this issue, we think that we'd be considered better off. Or if there was a place that already existed that could show us that they're culturally competent in training our folk to take advantage of this service, they would be better off financially. And at that point, I'm just going to sort of stop, because I'm assuming everybody's had a chance to sort of eyeball this. And again, I thank all of you very much. And Bill, I thank you in particular for letting me grab this as an old social services social worker. This is an issue that's very close to my heart. And as somebody, frankly, who grew up in the South, very, very poor, from migrant worker parents, mother went to third grade, father went to the seventh grade, poor people can save money, and poor people can count. And there's a lot of assumptions that are made about poor folk that I think we have the opportunity to dispel relative to low-income LGBTQ seniors. And lecture.
Thanks, sir. And thanks for volunteering to write this section up. It was very helpful. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Yes.
Yeah, I really think you do a great job kind of outlining the context in this. And I looked at it very briefly, so I'm not sure if I missed it. But do you, what are your thoughts about exactly what you think the city should do in terms of, you know, approaching this?
I was a little challenger, and thank you for asking that question. This is an amendment to the document as a whole. And the task force did not have the opportunities, like it did with all the other subcommittee reports, to review program recommendations. And I was very careful to try not to skirt over the line with either the Brown Act or the Sunshine Ordinance. So I did not make any specific program recommendations at all. I have some in my mind, but I felt very uncomfortable, frankly, putting them in paper, because it forces the task force to do a slam dunk at the 11th hour, at least from appearances' sake, without you guys having had a chance to say, well, Larry, I'd rather have seen this in there and that in there, and then have it go back to committee as a whole.
Right, right.
So we didn't have that opportunity because this was a last minute amendment. And Bill, that's a city attorney issue.
Larry and I talked about this. Yeah, and yeah. I agreed with Larry, and I agreed to keep the recommendation just very general. Just to back up a little, this was not a recommendation that came out of our work group process. This is a recommendation that really came to us from the mayor's office, and it's something they asked us to add. And we discussed it as a group, and there was general consensus that we could add it. At the same time, I felt like all of our other recommendations were produced through a public process with work groups and public comment and research, and they're thoughtful recommendations. They're not just thrown out there. So my feeling was, we don't have time to produce thoughtful recommendations, so let's keep it general and give the mayor's office what they're asking for, which is general support for this idea.
So then, I mean, would it help then toward that end to have a paragraph at the end that says kind of therefore we recommend that, you know, that the city pursue this and, you know, think about it more or whatever, just to have a kind of a conclusion.
Sure.
I have an idea for what that paragraph might say that I think might suit everyone's needs.
You mean like a specific proactive paragraph that says we recommend that the city provide?
Well, not that specific, because as you point out, you know, we haven't had a chance to go through this, but this sets out kind of the problem and some of the background and the research that kind of establishes the context. And then it doesn't really quite have a conclusion. So
no,
just something that says, you know, we don't have to come up with the specific recommendations, but that we recommend that the city spend time or, you know, thinking about this and devote some resources and focus on it, because it is an issue.
Sure.
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of felt like this implied that, but I don't have a problem with putting something more specific about that. Michelle.
I'm curious if, in terms of data, we could offer some data on lesbians, bi, and trans community members as well, because we cite gay men as having considerably less pay, and I'm curious if we could also provide a balanced view of the community, like providing,
Yeah, that was an issue that I went through also, because each target group has specific discrimination related issues that results in poverty. With lesbians, it's still 75 cents per dollar ratio of earning power. The transgender community earns less than everybody. Then you get into the racial and ethnic minorities. So what I decided is, oh my God, you know, I can't put all of this in here. The implication is that there's discrimination based on sexual orientation at large. But the one that was immediately grabbable was the statistic out of Karen's report. So I grabbed that one just to give it an anchor. Mm-hmm. But frankly, each target population has some very compelling evidence that shows why that target population is poorer than the general population. I think it was just, again, it was like, and Bill was really good at helping me, because you guys don't know me. I'm a writer, and when I start, I go. I mean, this could have been a soliloquy, could have been 50 pages long, but I wanted to keep it short, and I also frankly wanted to make it provocative. And I think yours and your point are really linked together. I just didn't know how far we need to go to be careful with it. I was trying to be cautious as a conservative. But yeah, you're right.
So I think, Michelle, it's an excellent, well-taken point. And Diana can plug in additional data from the survey that we did. And what I would ask is if when Diana plugs that additional information in, if you could review it for us and see if, you know, you think it makes the point.
Sure, I can also send.
Or if you have other things,
that would be great.
Send them my way.
Okay, so let's just do this in an organized way. So that's going to be a change to the final draft. We're going to add additional data relating to lesbians, bisexuals, transgender, people other than gay men, mm-hmm. which we always get around to focusing on. Would someone like to make a motion that we amend the draft to include that change?
Sure. I'll move.
Go ahead. Daniel moves.
Well, I was going to say, are we going to do that too?
Yes. Yeah, right.
I was going to ask about adding something else, so I was wondering if I could bring that up first, because we might want to add it to this motion.
Sure. So can someone second that motion, and then we can amend
second.
The motion. Okay, so Tommy seconds the motion. So now there's discussion on the motion. Yeah.
Okay, so something else I'd like to add in addition to lesbians, I'd like to add a mention of the two Williams studies that came out that showed that the poverty levels in the LGBT community are equal to, and in some instances, greater than any other community. And I think that's important when we mention the 40% of American households to also acknowledge that there's been two major studies done that show that poverty is just incredibly high in our community. So I'd like to add that on.
It's a good idea.
Okay, so
There was actually
you're offering that as a friendly amendment.
Yes, as a friendly amendment.
Daniel, would you like to accept that as a friendly amendment?
These are all friendly amendments.
With regards to data, and this might be what you were thinking of including, I know the MetLife study a few years back showed lesbian couples are twice as likely to be in poverty. I would guess the Human Rights Commission's study about bi issues probably talks about poverty in the bi community.
Right.
In the terms of trans folks and injustice at every turn. Mm-hmm.
And both Williams studies talk about the same thing.
And M.B. Badgett's article, The Myth of Gay Affluence, mm-hmm.
yeah.
is really good too.
Right.
What's the name of it?
Although that primary looks at gay men.
Pardon me?
That primarily looks
yeah.
at gay men.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But so if I could ask if anybody has data that they would like Diana to include, if they could send it to her, send a note to her so she can find it. And then with everyone's acquiescence, we'll ask Michelle to review the final redraft.
Pardon? Maybe Joyce too.
Sure.
I think Diana had a, on Michael's point, Diana had a suggestion that she didn't get a chance to bring up about wrapping it up somehow in some kind of narrative.
On the financial literacy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me, I should have done the financial literacy this way too, so let's just finish this. So there was moved and seconded to add additional data on lesbians, bisexuals, and transgenders. There was a friendly amendment to add additional data on the Williams studies on affluence and the gay community.
Poverty and the
poverty,
LGBT
lack of
community.
Affluence in the gay community. So it was moved and seconded, adopted as a friendly amendment. Is there any public comment on this item before we take a vote? You're not public.
Well, I was trying to get
just, yes, Perry. I'm just kidding.
I know we're citing other references. I just want to make sure that the data is here. So it's not just reference, but we can say 40% or 30% of LGBT folks are poor, you know, and to see it in the document, not just a reference.
I
just want to be clear that that's what would be helpful.
Yeah, I can look back at the city survey stuff too, because a lot of the reports that people are talking about are not local, so that might, you know. Maybe if folks can all, I know we'll have a final version of this that's official, but if folks can send me a bunch of stuff and then I can try to pull it together so it's not like a run-on series of statistics. We'll just pull out the best, see what seems to be the best ones and that balanced and as local as possible and gets at all the populations. And then Michelle, you can say, and Larry, give me the thumbs up on that.
I think what differentiates our study from all the other studies that have been done around the world, and you're right, this is going to be a precedent groundbreaking study, is that we were successful in getting a diverse swath of the LGBTQ community. And to that extent, it would probably be politically to our advantage to indicate the preponderance of poverty within the communities of color.
Yeah.
Because again, we're talking about the bottom of the bottom. And when you look at the transgender community, a lot of the transgender community in the TL are Black, Latina, Asian, and there's a great number of Euro-American transgender folks there also. But here's where the numbers of color can come up. And again, I think I'm very proud of having been a part of this, because this will be the first study that is not just, you know, with all due respect, a study of gay white men and a study of well-off gay white men. We hit every target group with the exception of a couple, and we have a reason for not having hit those couple. So if we could just sort of somehow, bam, communities of color and put that in there, I think it will really help us with strengthening this document. And I really appreciate all the feedback. I mean, you see, this document sets, this concept sets fire to all of us, because all of us know the challenges that people who don't have a lot of money and are older are dealing with trying to stay in the city.
Any other task force members wish to comment? Any public comment? Okay, so we're going to vote on this amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Okay, thank you, Michelle. That amendment is approved. So now back to the economic literacy.
How to sell
financial.
Financial literacy, thank you. So is that, we just need to do a motion to do a concluding paragraph?
Right.
Okay, so.
Which actually kind of helps the city focus on where we think the city should focus.
Okay, so Michael has moved that we add a concluding paragraph making it clear what the city should focus on. Is there a second?
Second.
Tommy seconds.
I was just curious. I haven't heard Diana say what she was going to wrap it up, so I was just curious, Diana, if you're comfortable in kind of putting that out?
Well, I'm comfortable, sure. I've been editing everybody's stuff. Well, I was just thinking, you know, where this falls in the report right now, all of the other sections have just like a box recommendation that summarizes, and I think we could probably keep it sort of sufficiently vague that it doesn't, you know, isn't overreaching given that it didn't come out of the work groups, but that it actually ends with a something. And I thought, I was just sort of taking notes while everyone was talking. And it seems like what we want to recommend is that the city will, you know, maybe investigate the best method to ensure access to quality, centralized, LGBT-friendly financial literacy programs. And also I would think you'd want that recommendation to suggest that programming be coordinated with the expanded access stuff that recommendation as well as probably
right.
the case management
That's absolutely right.
stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure that we have more to And I don't know that we have more details to say, see detail program recommendations
right.
somewhere else.
I'd like that. I specifically, normally in a lot of our recommendations, we're very specific about the nature of the service that we want. And I think we're clear enough here about the need for the service. And I was going to, my mind said RFP, but that frightened me because I know a lot of agencies that say they do financial counseling and financial literacy, and my experiences with those agencies is that some of them are extremely homophobic, and I would not want to send our folk to them. So I thought, well, I'm not going to suggest an RFP process, and that was actually an area that I felt like I ran into a brick wall over, because if I had or knew an agency in the back of my mind that I could recommend to the task force to consider, I would have been a little bit more specific, but I frankly didn't. And so if there's any way, if any of you know an organization, that would be helpful. But that's one of the reasons I did not do that is because, again, I can think of three very well-known agencies, one of which is extremely well-funded. I would no more send a client there, or I would go there than the man in the moon.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, we have largely omitted mentioning specific organizations by name.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, make it fair to everybody.
Yeah.
So the fact that there aren't any mentioned is actually consistent with the rest of the report.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we can't mention them, but.
Well, so maybe under the solution, I had just sort of hacked in something, but I could change it to, currently it says develop and implement financial literacy training services that target LGBT older adults, but maybe we just say,
Well, we can, let's not.
Enhance or something, you know, I mean, I can reword that a little bit, and then, but is the gist of what I just said, does that seem?
Okay. Yes, Michael.
Yeah, no, I mean, I really think it addresses what the city kind of asked us to do, which is to address the issue, and where we don't come up with specific answers, we've given data that actually underlines the importance of the issue. And then I like what you did when you tie it into a couple of our other recommendations. So it gives it some context. So it sounds good.
It kind of bounces it over to the work that the social services committee was doing and kind of lets them massage it and fits next.
So if I could ask, when we've drafted this extra paragraph, if if Larry and Michael could look at it for us, that would be great. And then it'll come back to the rest of the task force. So it's been moved and seconded to add this paragraph. Is there any public comment on this motion? Seeing none, all in favor of adding one paragraph that focuses on focus, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Okay, that amendment is also accepted. So now we have, hi Marcy.
My apologies, the cab took forever to get
there. Oh, and Tom Nolan's not here to get that. That's terrible. He lucked
it's
out.
Even worse.
Hold my hand.
Of course, if you took uni, you still wouldn't be here. So.
That's right.
Oh.
No.
Okay. Okay, so Jorge has thoughtfully submitted some comments that we should talk about taking action on. Do you, Jorge, do you want to present your ideas?
Yeah, what I wrote a couple of hours ago. This is a paragraph that I thought that it could be added to the draft regarding the contribution of the Latino GLBT community to the survey and to the group. And I said, we noticed an increase on participation of the Latino GLBT on our survey. They comprise 7% of our total participants. Due to our efforts, this increment was possible. We visited several agencies, gave presentations, visited clinics, distributed material, and personally helped those ones that did not have a computer. Many other contacts were made through the email. This effort would have not been possible without the cooperation of those colleagues that work directly with these persons, many of them longtime HIV survivors.
Thank you. So Jorge pointed out, rightfully so, that in the subpopulation, high-risk subpopulation section, we have language in there about the difficulty we had trying to penetrate some of the communities. And Jorge pointed out that we had a real success story, in particular with the Latino community, and we should mention that. And the one thing you
Thank
didn't,
you.
Yeah, and the one thing you didn't mention, Jorge, which I really would like to insist that we include, is that you were a major part of that outreach. And I really think we should mention that.
I always like to work with the we and not me, yeah.
But the reality, Jorge, was that it was your effort. That,
no, but you know, people like Ashley went one day to the Mission Health Center and distributed jackets for a meeting that was having with Tom the next day. So everybody.
You're very modest, but thank you very much. And thank you, Ashley. But
thank you.
Right. So and thank you for drafting that. So let's take these recommendations you made one at a time. So someone like to make a motion that we include that paragraph?
Someone.
Tommy moves.
Second.
Michael seconds. Is there any public comment? I'm sorry, is there any discussion on the task force or questions for Jorge about this paragraph? Okay, any public comment? Okay, seeing none. So it's been moved and seconded.
Well, it's not really a comment, it's just a question. Is it about where you want to put it? But maybe we can figure that out after.
I think that's the area where you have the other paragraph
yeah,
that I mentioned.
Right after the Russians.
Okay, about the efforts that we need to reach out for the survey? Okay.
The difficulty of reaching the Russian community.
Yes.
That, I think it could be around there.
Okay, perfect.
It doesn't have to be in the first
page. Okay. I apologize to our Russian friends. Yes.
Along those lines, I'd like to volunteer to write something about the API community that I'd like included in that section as well, just the paragraph in terms of methodology and why we fell short.
Absolutely, that would be great. That would be great.
Okay. I haven't had time to do that, so I just want to
go into that. No. You know, I think it's a good idea because I think it would make everyone feel inclusive. And I would suggest that as we're highlighting the different ethnic groups that we've gotten to, if we have a line about each one, that might make this feel even-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I was listening to what Jorge was saying, and I was agreeing, and I've seen him in action, and he did rock.
Thank you.
And I'm also aware that we overrepresented the African-American community relative to where we are in San Francisco, because I've been for those of you that don't know, that I think the official statistics are what, 5%?
6%.
6%. The real statistics are like 4%. Mm-hmm. So we actually got an overrepresentation of African Americans, and again, Perry rocked that boat like nobody's business. And so each group that we had success with, and even failure with, I think bears mentioning, because again, I'm working on the presupposition that somebody is going to take hold of this, because I'm sure going to push it on this advisory committee now that I'm on it, and maybe research phase two will occur, because we ran into some interesting issues. I think our failure with the Russian community is fascinating, particularly given the stuff that you guys anecdotally found out, and I don't want to leave it there. I want to probe that more. So I think each group can be mentioned, but I think there could be honorable mention and relative to successes with some groups that we have.
So Perry has made a friendly amendment to add one or two sentences about each of our designated subpopulations, about the outreach effort to each of our designated, whether successful or not successful.
I second.
Marcy seconds the friendly amendment. Is there any discussion on from the task force or the public about this amendment? Yes.
A source that was cited by Kevin Fagan in a pedestrian safety article he wrote in April 2011 in the Chronicle. He stated, "I looked at," and this was there when there was regional breakouts of the 2010 census data, he could do demographic analysis on the city county of San Francisco. In it, there are broad formats of cultural racial identities. It does not compose of ethnicities directly, but it's federal government lingo. So that's a source there of hard numbers, that you could get the hard numbers, but it's only people who registered in the census. That's not an actual number, it's just registered.
Okay. Thank you. Any other public comments?
One question?
Yes.
Sorry. So as far as a few sentences on what we did do, I hear you have some language for the Latino community, some language from you from the API community. Is there anyone who wants to volunteer to write what we did in other communities? I know there was African American. Tommy, I think you were working with homeless and SRO.
Did you want me to write something about the lesbian community?
Sure. You know, anyone who knows what the history is probably better than I do in a particular area of detail, I'd be happy to take a few sentences and then make them all sound like they came from more or less the same voice.
When we started doing the research, I submitted to the task force, which was officially accepted to the record, our outreach strategy that I worked on with Jason and Marcy, and it was approved by the task force, and I can send you that whole Word document.
That's perfect, yeah.
Because I think it talked about our wanting to have this be inclusive, democratic, so I'll send you that as a Word document tonight.
Okay.
And hopefully you'll find something in there, because we all kind of agree this is the path that we're going to take, and we actually pretty much stuck to it.
Marcy.
Just two or three sentences is enough, or four?
I think so. I mean, this report's getting so long, so, you know.
I don't mind that.
What's a few more pages?
I will also, I'll help you write whatever is left over. What's more important to me is having some folks to help us review it before we get to the final meeting. So I need a couple of volunteers to help us look at this. Marcy would be great, Joyce would be great, and Larry. Is there anybody else that wants to take a look at the final section? And Michelle. So I think that's as many as we can do without violating laws.
Okay.
Brown Act or Sunshine Act, I should say.
Haven't we all violated laws?
No, we have not.
At some point in our lives?
Well, maybe. But not as a task force. We've violated no laws.
But just
no
for
laws.
Being homosexual.
Yeah, well.
Oh, my God. Did not go there. That was a good one.
Okay, so procedurally... we need to vote on whether or not to add this additional language. So are there any other questions or comments about adding the additional language on the outreach to the subpopulations? Okay, seeing none. So all in favor of adding this language, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, say no. Okay, so we will work on that.
Just said aye and no at the same time. I was having a senior moment, I'm sorry. I need a Valium.
Okay, so Jorge, do you wanna, so let me just say on the two recommendations, number one and two at the bottom, I had mentioned that you had pointed out that you had mentioned some nonprofit organizations that could possibly perform certain types of services.
That was Tommy's idea on the, about the housing.
So we can include those if that's what the group would like. However, as I said, as a general rule, we've tried to take out those specific names.
Okay.
And we can talk about why we've taken those out, but for consistency's sake, it's more consistent to leave them out, but if you feel it's really vital to put them in, we can.
Is there a way to, I don't know how the presentation before the Board of Supervisors is going to go. I suppose we hand them the written final report, and then it's not going to be read into the, so, right. So would that be an opportunity for some people to talk about a few things such as that?
Oh, sure, yeah,
you know,
of course.
What I'm saying.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So maybe we could agree to that.
Okay, to provide information at the time.
At that time, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when the board will have a hearing on this, and all of you, the task force will have been disbanded by then, but everyone here is welcome to testify. You can say, obviously, whatever you want. If you want to say this organization should get this contract or whatever, that's fine, totally up to you.
That's fine.
Ashton.
I agree with your position that if you're going to be consistent, and Marcy has a really great follow-up to kind of make sure that we are able to provide that information somehow, but in the report, stay consistent.
Yeah. Actually, adding to that, I think it increases the objectivity and the strength of the report.
Yeah, I do too. Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't seem like we have favorites in our recommendations.
No, ditto. He just said what I was going to say. That scares me. I know that each one of us have, and I mean, collectively, we have, since we've worked together so long, organizations that just sort of come up in our mind's eye. But I think having gone through this before, you have to be very, very careful, because I don't want any of us to be accused of conflict of interest. I don't want any of us to be accused of prejudice, and this report isn't just for the City and County of San Francisco. The State Commission on Aging is chomping at the bit waiting to see this. Palm Springs Aging Commission wants to see it. SAGE wants to see it. So we need to be very careful.
Okay. So Jorge, if it's okay with you, we'll one and two will just no
That's
action
perfect.
On that. Is that
That's
okay?
Perfect.
Great.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you. And so Jorge's third input is on funding, and specifically mentioning the tech companies,
the tech community.
Comes,
yeah.
And actually, I personally think that's a well taken point. I do think we, you know, could definitely add something
that we could present at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think the point you make in general that, you know, these companies are finding a home in our city and building their fortunes here, and they should, you know, help solve the problems here. Is there any discussion about that suggestion? Yes, Michael.
Yeah, just is that a general comment, a general recommendation for funding for all of what we're recommending?
Exactly, it would be a general comment.
No, that's good, because there's it should be applied broadly.
In the implementation plan?
I actually think it would be good to add it in the community within communities section.
To be focused on that?
Yeah, to say that the, you know, private sector should step up, the mainstream private sector should step up, or something like that.
Why limit it?
You mean?
To the community, you know, community section, why not more broadly?
Oh, sure.
I would
be more broad about it, because it could be that, you know, the people that write the checks, you know, in the tech community may decide, well, we're more interested in this program than that program,
right,
and we don't want to lose money or, you know, leave money on the table because we're not appealing to what they're actually interested in.
Right.
You know?
I agree.
It's part of the frame. I know it's very popular right now to kind of zero in on one particular industry, but the general problem that we have in with aging is that people don't find it fundable, whether it be foundations, et cetera. So it's not just a one sector issue. It's across the board. The corporations don't place senior issues in their funding bailiwick. And foundations, there are very few foundations that fund senior issues to the level that they fund other issues. And this needs to change in general, and I think we can call out the ones that are specific here, but I think it should be a broad kind of, you know, we need to, as a society, invest more in solutions for aging issues, and particular as it affects the LGBT senior community.
And I think a very positive statement about it as a way for foundations and corporations, and perhaps not just techie corporations, we might want to broaden the statement so they don't can really make a difference in the city, rather than saying they, you know, they haven't done that or they need to do more of that. But I would make it a very constructive statement.
Right.
Okay.
That goes back to my kind of earlier consistent drumbeat about having a very diverse portfolio of funding sources. And I know there's different opinions about the foundation sector around this table, but I tend to very much agree with Ashley, having worked there and having worked very deeply there. They're not hurting for money. Not hurting for money. It's about priorities and choice. And I think one of the issues that we can use as a branding positive selling point is that anything that you do for the LGBTQ aging community is ultimately going to benefit the aging community at large. You know, if they're not funding LGBTQ communities that are aging, they're not funding aging communities at large. And it's a problem with America and how America perceives getting old. It's a negative. If I see one more young woman on the television who's obviously in her 20s saying, this is going to get rid of my age spots, I'm going to have a 50. I'm like, okay, if you're going to do that, put somebody on there that looks like me, that says, you know, see this here? Can you do something about that? You know what I'm saying? There's something wrong with how America sees aging. And the irony and the flip side of that is that the boomer are the richest generation in the history of the world. So if the companies would understand, there's a quid pro quo here. You know, we do buy. So, anyway.
Okay. Yeah. So, yes, Tommy.
I think it's a good idea to mention it. I think it's a good idea to put it in there somehow, because there is a lot of awareness right now about the tech companies taking more responsibilities. And people in the tech industry, like Ron Conway, have actually begun to say, even in the area of housing. So I think there's some projects that we propose in this report, particularly in the area of housing, 200 units of affordable housing in the Castro. It's going to take a lot of money. Doing housing for 0 to 30% of AMI is very, very, very expensive. That's something certainly that some tech people, especially some LGBT tech people, mm-hmm. want to take on and raise money. I was at a mayor's briefing recently about his 30,000 units he wants to build by 2020, and Ron Conway was there. And I went up to him afterwards, because I have a lot of nerve, and I just went up to him. And I introduced myself as the person who was the MC of the Crappies, which was the alternative to the Crunchies. And he laughed, because, you know, he... And I said, you know, I really appreciate that at the Crunchies, you mentioned that the tech people need to take more responsibility. I said, I have an idea for you. I have a proposal. I said, you should raise $1 billion among your tech friends and give it to the Community Land Trust to buy 200 or 300 rent-controlled buildings and keep them affordable forever. And I thought he was going to laugh at me or tell me to get away from me, kid, or something, you know. He didn't. He actually was like, the Land Trust. He said, yeah, I've heard of that, and I actually like the Land Trust. So I don't think it's so far-fetched to say that these folks are thinking and they're hearing the things that we're proposing. They may not do them, but these people are hearing because we've made such a fuss. You know, I've been part of the Google bus protests and everything. You know, they've heard our message, and they've heard what we're saying. And I think the more times we can repeat, you folks need to take more responsibility, and here's ways you can do it, I think maybe we might be surprised at the outcome.
Great. Would someone like to make this into a motion? We are moving to add a paragraph about making a general comment about the tech sector getting more involved in funding community priorities. I don't know how to phrase it if someone...
Well, weren't we going to make it broader? So
yeah,
it was,
that's why I asked for a... Because I'm not sure how to... Do you want to take a stab at it?
No, well, I would just add to what you said, foundations and large corporations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those that have made their homes and their wealth in San Francisco should place seniors, in particular LGBT seniors, on the radar screen for funding and creative ideas and approaches.
Yeah.
To great problems, and I think you can mention those include the tech sector and the banking sector and the VC sector.
I like that way of doing it, and we can wordsmith it a little bit more so that we make it constructive about how this really helps everyone.
That feels more comfortable to me.
And helps everyone and makes the whole city a more livable city.
Okay, so Ashley made a motion. I heard Ashley make a motion. Marcy seconded. Is everyone clear on the motion?
Yeah.
Does anyone want Ashley to restate it?
Can you restate that? No, I was just kidding.
That was very articulate.
I thought that was perfect.
And what we'll do is we'll write something and then we'll give it to Marcy and Ashley. And does anyone else want to review this one topic? Okay.
I really would like to see that. Thank you. And Larry.
Okay. So, is there any public comment on this motion? Does everyone know what we're voting on?
Did we vote?
No, we haven't voted. Okay, so no public comment on this motion. The motion, again, is to add a general comment saying that the businesses and organizations who've made their home here and profited here should help contribute to community services, especially with LGBT seniors. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Okay, and Ashley, Marcy, Tommy, and Larry will help us figure out the wording on that. So, two things. First of all, that concludes all of the amendments that have been brought forward so far. Does anybody else have any other amendments?
Just two observations. One, I think that once we get to the final report, the type size on this has to go up dramatically. This is a document that's for seniors. And even as a person who can now get my AARP card, I can't read it. So the typeface on this, I mean, I don't know. There must be a DOS, Department of Aging Adult Service standard style sheet, but most people do 13-point or higher on everything. And the second thing is, I do think that pictures really do add context and photos. So I don't know, in the scheme of things, once we get down to the final draft, if nothing else on the cover, and maybe on the back, we could add some really great photos of LGBT folks in our community. I know I have probably some good shots I can share, and other organizations might have, and they're all signed off on, and people have signed off, said they could be used, so I'd really like to see that.
Tommy, then Marcy.
So I've gone through my section a few times, I want to thank Diana. It was great collaborating with you on this.
Yeah.
It really came out well. There are a few typos and things, but I assume that I just talked to Diane about typos. And there's a few lines I'd like to add that clarify things. Are those things that I need to bring up here, or do I just work with Diana on those?
Well, Is anything substantive, or are you, you're just adding, fleshing things out, or?
Well, for instance, the section which talks about waiting lists, replacement affordable housing costs hundreds of thousands of dollars, anywhere from $250,000 to $500,000, and waiting lists abound at existing affordable buildings. I'd like to add, including in public housing in Section 8. So I think it's important to also point to those, because people look to public aid, Section 8 and public housing as being the most viable forms of affordable housing, but yet those waiting lists have been closed for years and years and years. I think it just, you know, adds a little more emphasis.
How many of those kinds of changes do you have? Or is that the only one?
Just a few. There's a line here or there that I want to add to.
That doesn't sound material.
Yeah.
It's basically.
Yeah. I'll see if there's anything that looks material here that I want.
So there's two ways we could do it. One is we could try to hash it out now, which I don't necessarily recommend. Mm-hmm. The other is that we have to point these out at our next meeting and assume that everyone agrees that they should stay in.
Okay.
If not, we'll have to pull them out, you know, at the next meeting. But I think that's a better way of doing it, especially since it seems like it's not going to be controversial. It's just fleshing some stuff out. Does that make sense to everyone to deal with it at the next meeting?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then finally, I wanted to bring up a question for people, see how people feel about something. When I was reading over the very, very end of this report, where it talks about people getting cited for lie and anti-panhandling stuff, and then that ends up preventing them from getting housing. It struck me just today when I was reading this over for the millionth time, because I'm really neurotic about this, I want to make sure it's really perfect. But I was reading it over and something jumped out at me and said, maybe we need to say something more, maybe we need to make a recommendation here. And I just want to pose it. I don't know that I want to make an actual recommendation. I want to pose and see how other people might feel about. The recommendation that comes to mind is that we've recommended the city look into either repealing sit-lie and anti-panhandling laws, or amending them so that people don't end up with a quote-unquote criminal record that affects their ability to get housing.
So, point of information question?
Yes.
Is that state law? That
city. They're both city. They're both city laws.
Okay.
Yes.
Any comment or questions? Yes, Scott.
Yeah, I totally agree with that recommendation. And I'm concerned a little bit about, is it speaking to LGBT seniors specifically with the recommendation? Because it seems a little broad. Right.
It's broad. It's definitely broader than LGBT seniors.
Okay. Yes. Mary, then Michael.
Having lived through the genesis of an implementation of those ordinances, I really don't want to touch those. I think that there are other organizations who've taken up that charge, and I want to keep our focus as laser beam as possible. That does not mean that I don't care about those issues. It means that I'm being purposely politically conservative, and I'd like to think strategic, but when Bill brought up the issue earlier on Jorge's remark, that once we are disbanded as a group, what Larry Saxon's opinion is in a public forum is fine. We can agree that that might be an issue that we want to take up, particularly relative to how it affects the eligibility of our target population to receive services down the line because of criminal records. But I'm uncomfortable with that right now because it tends to spread us a little bit too thin. And as Scott said, if I had the stats in my hand that says, and this is affecting this percentage of the aging LGBTQ population, I would feel more comfortable. But in the absence of those statistics, I don't want to take that on, and that's just my feelings. I don't want to take it on within the context of this report, with all due respect.
Michael, did you have a comment?
Yeah, so you kind of recommended two things. One, which seems to me is less germane to the role of this task force than the other. And the first that I think is less germane is repealing sit-lie, because that takes us in a whole different direction. And I'm not sure how that relates to this task force. But the other thing that you recommended, which is amending the law to get rid of this odd situation where simply because you have a CITLIE citation and that precludes you from housing assistance, that would seem to be more germane to what we're doing here, because we're actually trying to address issues mm-hmm. around access to housing. And so I could see, actually, I don't know if this is the wisdom of Solomon or what, or whatever, but sort of thinking of it in two different ways. And I could see where the task force would be within its range of responsibilities to actually think about amending the city law so that it doesn't keep you from having housing. Mm-hmm.
Any other comments, Marcy?
Well, no, I have to add something. I could see that too, but coming in at the last minute without an opportunity to study it, I feel a little at a disadvantage to really be able to make a proper decision about it.
That's sort of the problem I have, is that I feel like we've made such informed decisions up until now, and I don't know, there's so many facts to look at. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the reason why I decided to bring it up as a question rather than to actually draft a recommendation, because I just wanted to put it out there, because it is something that struck me when I was reading this over today, that it's something that probably we could have explored
back
when our subcommittee was together and we were looking into this stuff. But
that article that Brian Basinger did in the Chronicle showing the disproportionate number of LGBTQ folks that were homeless.
Right.
It kind of burns in the back of my head. And I guess my question is for you, Tommy, since you're clearly the expert on the task force relative to this issue, is there enough time between now and the meeting that Bill's talking about for you to be able to get some statistics that show a critical mass, or some statistics, so that we can then, because Michael's point is well taken, along with other mentioning, barrier issues, we can mention the inadvertent kind of collateral damage of CITLIE in relationship to how it affects our community.
Right.
Is it possible to get those numbers between now and the time that Bill's talking?
Numbers
about?
On specifically LGBT seniors?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just seniors? Yeah, I'm just not sure that anybody's keeping that statistic.
There aren't any.
Yeah, so I would say it's probably not going to be possible.
So I just want to make one other sort of general comment, which is that, as we've gone around and started talking to city leaders, supervisors, department heads about our recommendations, we are being given a tremendous amount of credibility in these discussions. I don't know if people have been following what we're doing or they just haven't heard drama coming up, from what we're doing, but we've been given a lot of deference as experts and policy advisors, and I really think one of the reasons is because we haven't just thrown recommendations out without thought. And I politically agree with you on both the things you mentioned. I'm just wondering, I just feel like at this point it's going to detract from what we've done instead of adding to it. I hate to say it that way, but I do. Yes.
I was just going to add that last week Mayor Lee signed the Fair Chance Ordinance, which reduces barriers based on prior arrests and convictions, particularly in terms of employment and housing. I don't know if that ordinance is something that could affect what you're working on.
As far as I know, I don't think it will.
Okay.
So.
But again, I think what we could do, Tommy, is when this goes before a hearing at the board, we could, as a group, we could sign on to a letter.
Sure.
You could write a letter for us to sign on to, and you could say, the task force didn't have time to consider this, but here's our thoughts on this topic. And I'd be happy to sign a letter like that, and,
And in that letter, we don't have to necessarily give them the number of the mm-hmm. seniors and just say, these are the statistics of the LGBTQ community, mm-hmm. and then it can be somebody else's job to extrapolate based on the proportion of the presence of seniors what we assume those numbers might be. But yeah, I think that's probably the best place to mention.
John, I know you were trying to make a comment. I'm sorry I didn't call you earlier.
It's only a minor point, and this is the Americans with Disabilities Act cites the accommodation for people with impaired vision to use 14 font and triple space.
Oh, thank you.
For quantity of words per page, I would then recommend you do 8.5 by 14 in page size in the printed report, double-sided, with notes at the bottom of the sheet, 1 of 4, flip over, flip over, flip over, other side.
Thank you very much. That's very helpful. So, primarily this document is going to be distributed electronically. We are going to have some printed, so we definitely need to, we can present it this way electronically easily. So we'll have to look at, in the printing, if we can do the 8.5 by 14 and the 14, but thank you for those standards. We'll try to do that if we can. Yes, Larry.
I just kind of wanted to make an emotional comment, and that is that looking at the draft and looking at that picture of Jazzy and Stu really kind of choked me up. And I think to the extent that we can continue prominently, moving, what am I trying to say? I just think it's really good. It's a beautiful thing that we're dedicating this report to them, because I'm sorry, sir, I forgot your name.
Ray.
Talked about births and deaths during the course of this report. We did have 2 task members who died. Mm-hmm. We had a third who almost died. And people out there in the world that don't understand what our population's going through need to know that, and I think that will speak volumes. And when Ashley was talking about strategically placing photographs, I think we have a wonderful opportunity to educate people, and one of the things that you do in educating is let people know we're here. I think one of the things that we've suffered from is invisibility a lot, and what a crime for us to just quietly die away in the night with nobody even noticing that we were here. So I just think it's a very wonderful idea that we're dedicating a report to them. And just looking at the draft form, my heart just, I felt overwhelmed. And I also felt a sense of, oh my God, that really did happen.
Thank you. And I just wanted to point out, too, that every single one of our votes that this task force has taken has been unanimous. Every single one. We have not. We've had consensus on everything we've done. And so I think we deserve a lot of credit for that. Not every task force that serves in San Francisco is unanimous in everything they do. But I think that shows, again, gives us a lot of credibility in what we're doing. So are there any other, yes, Michelle?
I have a question about the title of the report.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Are we going to get to that? Or
yeah, of course.
I'm just curious.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
should we vote, or what
do
you
feel about that?
Yeah.
Are we open to suggestions?
Yeah,
of
course.
Meeting? Like, I haven't thought of any, but I'm just curious how people were landing on the 3 that were in the draft.
These were, like, ideas that showed up, so I just threw them in as they were showing up.
Oh, okay.
So we have a better one.
Thanks.
Great.
For bringing that up, though, because we haven't
talked
about the title.
What are the 3 proposed ones again?
Do you want to read them?
Well, so there's 3, like, big headers, okay? So one is, it should keep getting better. Another is, we built our homes and families here. And the last one is, we can make it better. And then there's a sort of subtitle of, a report on the lives of LGBT seniors in San Francisco with public policy recommendations. Another is, the lives of LGBT seniors in San Francisco, a report and public policy recommendation to aid aging and community for LGBT seniors. It's kind of, they're kind of long.
Yep.
So, we might want to start with the big...
The tagline?
The tagline. Yeah.
I like the rebuilt art. It sounds like the Jefferson airplane you built to sit down. I don't know. And also, it kind of anchors it in a very human way, because it's true. I think of the younger generation that came up behind us, We did the white knight riots. We got locked up in the clubs. We got raided. You know, those of us that are that age remember, we went through that. These were not just fantasies, you know. Some of us have been beaten up by the police. Some of us have been set up and, what do you call it?
Entrapped.
Entrapped. And have not been able to get jobs. So I like something very human that, you know, and our lesbians rescued the gay men at a point when we had no more gay men to volunteer in the AIDS epidemic because we were all dying. It was our lesbian sisters that said, okay, fellas, move over. We got to take it from here. So.
Okay. Who else? Yes, Michael.
Yeah, I think I'd like it to be more future focused than past focused. Because we've gotten together, we've looked at the situation, you know, in lots of different areas, and now we're making recommendations for a better future. So I actually prefer it should get better or whatever it is. It should keep getting better.
Or we can make it better.
Or we can make it better.
Well, I would propose.
You have to pick, though. We're at the picking
point. Well, I like it should be, I like it should be getting better because I think it's more, you know, jazzy.
Okay, Scott, thank you.
I actually like the last one, I believe, because the should part is a little not very strengths. It kind of leaves a question.
Actually, I agree with you. I retract my opinion. I think we can make it better.
We can make it better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, Marcy.
So I don't like any of them.
That doesn't matter.
Marcy, you can only say that if you have one.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know me. I always have some.
Then you're allowed to hate them if you have a.
So I like the future idea, and I like something more like building a stronger community, a healthier future.
And a healthier future.
Should I write these on the board?
So it's like
that would be helpful.
So is it building? Say that again.
What did I say?
building a stronger community and a healthier future.
This is something in the water.
Policy recommendations for.
Right, and then you do colon. Policy recommendations for San Francisco's LGBT.
What is it? Building a stronger community
and
building a stronger community
and a healthier future. Policy recommendations for
colon policy recommendations.
And healthier future.
Future.
But the policy recommendation piece is on all of it.
Is there?
It's said in different ways, but yeah, I mean
yeah,
pretty much.
Keep the tagline.
Yeah, so we're just looking for a tagline.
Okay.
Let's just say LGBTQ older folk rock.
I like that. I like that one, Larry. LGBTQ older folk rock.
I like that one.
We built our homes. We can make it better, and we built our homes and families.
Okay.
For me, I think that the why that this report is important to me is the acknowledgement that aging in general, but specifically for LGBT folks, is a perilous road in many ways. One, because of health conditions might lead you to need to be displaced or move. And this city in its current environment particularly is causing more and more people to have pronounced problem staying here. If you lose your place where you're staying, most likely you're out, right? And so it isn't just about kind of a public health statement that we can be a stronger community. I mean, I think for us, this particular report needs to say that we belong here.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever way we're going to say that, I mean, you could add the word strong and stable communities or whatever you want to say, but it is so important that we send this an umbrella signal that it isn't just about housing people or just about health conditions. It's about this place.
This is our city.
This is our city. So that for me, I think that this is what's unique about San Francisco. And maybe you could say that about many urban environments, but it's especially true here. And I just think that this report should underscore that when people age and are booted or out of this community, it is a big deal.
So what's your suggestion?
Well, I'm just trying to find that thing, that umbrella thing that says these recommendations not only get things better, but they keep people where they want to be.
It's the aging in place philosophy.
Aging in community.
Basically,
I wanted to do that place community thing again. But whatever can say that, that's why I use the word home, because home means something.
Yeah.
Well, I think that is really true, Ashley, that housing is such a central and core issue for our community. But this is our city, and I think I see housing as another piece, but perhaps the most important piece, of all these services here in San Francisco. So to me, building a stronger, that's sort of included in building a stronger community, but maybe you want to put the word home in there, in somewhere in there. Is that what you're saying?
What you want to put, whatever way you say it, is that this is where people want to be and where we're going to support them to stay.
So
I have a suggestion. So I have a suggestion, which is to appoint a title committee.
Oh my God.
A title task force.
Consisting of Marcy and Ashley and Michelle.
Sorry.
I want to be part of it too.
What I would suggest is that we come back with three suggestions at the next meeting.
Yeah,
and we put them to a vote, and whatever wins, wins.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's put my old folk rock up there, my LGBT folk rock.
Yes. Yeah, I like that.
That was sort of my main reason of coming today, about the title, because I was concerned that I was tossed between, does it fit on a t-shirt, or does it have weight to it? And I felt it needed to have weight to it, and then someone else puts it on a t-shirt. Because I just, that was my, when I first read just the beginning and saw those three things, I was like, I want this to have some weight in it. And
those didn't seem like they did?
Yeah. I mean, it was too much. It looked good. Like, I'd wear that on a t-shirt.
Right.
But for this report, it seemed to be, needs some more
substance.
Yeah, I'm
with you.
Yeah,
I agree.
That's a good point. Yes,
I have one last opinion to the title committee, which is that I also think, I look at a lot of reports in the city, and I would also urge you to just have something where it's clear what this report is about.
Without
having to read to the very end of some sub thing.
Very good point.
Oh, good point. Good
and
point.
How do we,
which is
how
sort
do
of
we
what I
that?
Like, I don't care in the end what you guys decide, of course, but like, it's part of what I like about it, it should keep getting better, or we can make it better, is that because that's such a meme, like people know, as you read that, you think, oh, okay, I think this must be about the LGBT community, and then the sub,
I think in an ideal world, the title would be catchy and substantive at the same time.
Right.
And it's finding, it's for the title committee to find the perfect balance.
Yes, agreed. So three options.
We have a committee.
Yeah, it's Ashley and Marcy and Michelle.
No, I want to be part of the team.
Yeah, Michael's in.
Michael, you want to too, Scott?
Sure.
Okay, so that's...
Is that five?
That's right at the border. Right. So no one can tell me what the choices are before the next meeting, which is fine. Okay. So is that to everyone's liking that we'll resolve the title that way?
Yep.
Yes.
Yay.
Great idea.
Okay.
So just to clarify, so we're bringing three to
the title committee.
We'll bring three. The title committee will bring three to the next meeting, and then there'll be a vote.
Correct.
Okay.
Good.
And just for the record, that's an unofficial work group, not a real committee. Okay, so that's all of the amendments. So the next meeting is March 25th.
Wait, I have a few. Sorry. Well, I just want to make sure there probably will be some changes between now and then to some of the rest of the report. So I just want to tell you where I think it, like that. I know Scott, you and I were going to go back and forth about the mental health, the exact language of the mental health recommendation to make sure it reflects what you think the final draft was. So I just want to make sure I say that, that's on
the
record.
I don't think we should be making changes after this. There's nothing wrong with the mental health section.
Right, but he had a concern about the exact, that he emailed me about earlier.
Then we need to resolve that now. I mean, we can't, because when people leave, they need to know what's in the document. And if we send them a document and say,
right,
there's all sorts of things that could be new and different, then we are starting all over at the next meeting. So we can't do that. So Scott, if you want to make changes, we need to talk about them now, and you know, the group needs to say, yes, let's do that, or no, let's not do that.
Absolutely. At this point, go ahead and go with it.
It's okay the way it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I think it's fine the way, I mean, I think it's great the way it is.
Okay.
Okay. And then I know there, this is a question of a couple of things that I was going to potentially take the opportunity to add in, so it would be new. Like, so I know we've all received a few articles about, there was an article about the Hispanic LGBT community, there was an article about trans suicide rates, there's an article about food insecurity. I think that came up when we were talking about the Williams Institute. So there's statistics that have been kind of floating around, and I hadn't had a chance to peek at them and see if I could, if I should drop some stats in a couple places where they would just support, it wouldn't change any of the recommendations, but they just might add a little.
Oh, I totally support you. Totally
yes.
Support you.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Michelle.
Yes, along those lines, there was a couple of things also that I didn't think appeared in this draft that I had sent around the existing laws, I think. So make sure that they're in here. But
well, check and you can send. So if there's,
yeah,
if there are a couple of things that need to be added that just reinforce what's already in there, then I just want to make sure everyone's okay with that.
We talked about it at previous meetings, though.
Yes, yeah, I don't think that's anything new.
So everybody, we may have sites to additional studies.
Yeah.
So we're okay with that.
Would it be helpful for you? I'm just trying to minimize the work on you, since I wrote the draft that we voted on today. If folk would like Michelle send me those citations that you were talking about, and then I'll consolidate them in the notes that I heard.
Yeah, well, and I think I have Michelle's stuff, so I just have to double check and see if it didn't end up in there.
Yeah,
then.
So would it help for me to sort of try to pull together the changes that I think I heard around the financial literacy and
yes,
send you that draft down,
yes,
so that you don't have to do all that stuff yourself?
That's terrific.
Okay.
And I'll just, well, the things that come to me from these, the previous conversations we've had today, I will incorporate into the draft in a way that seems like it works.
Yeah.
Okay. The only other things, let me just see from my notes here. I'll be tightening up the acknowledgement stuff. So in some cases we've mentioned specific people, and in some cases we haven't. So I'm gonna,
yeah,
you know, I mean, there's sort of these little things. So I just want to make sure folks understand.
Well, there aren't
that
a lot. The acknowledgement
there aren't a
page
lot
might, you know, the.
Oh wait, was Deb Kenny's
the
name on the on that list? Of
oh yes, because she donated.
She
no,
donated.
That's right.
Right. So I
yeah, that wasn't.
Yeah,
who
she,
was it? Sorry.
Deb Kenny was one of the early donors.
Yeah.
So she should
that's
be
right
on that list with
Alba. Yeah, I'll make sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you have all the citations and stats on the Alzheimer's data, right?
I have almost everything. There's a few. There are still a few places where I have things highlighted in people's sections that say citation, or there's like one little thing in the dementia where it says just one sentence here would do.
Okay. All right. I will get back to you on that.
So, yeah, it's just the little thing. I mean, you know, we don't have to go through the whole thing for every single individual one, but that there just will be, you know, it'll get a little tighter. So.
Yeah. Nothing substantive, and I make this promise to all of you that I will be the gatekeeper and make sure that there are no surprises in this document. So what I don't want is for anyone, any task force member, to look at this in a week after our final vote and say, oh, my God, I didn't realize that
yeah
was in here. So I can't force you all to read it, but I can give you all enough time, and I can promise you that we're not going to put anything in this last draft that we haven't explicitly discussed, okay? There's no surprises. That's not the way we do things. Yes?
So there were two little things in the legal section. Number one, I definitely want to, I realized as we were sitting here that I did not cite to the policy put out by Lambda that I used significantly in putting together the draft ordinance. Okay. So I definitely want to include a citation in that, and I can send you that citation.
Okay.
And the other thing is, in the appendix that includes the draft ordinance, it also includes like this kind of sum up of it, which is basically the same thing as the ordinance but without the guidance section.
Right.
So I'm guessing we can take that part out and just have the draft ordinance, and I'm happy to help with that.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, I have one other thing. And so I have to call the city attorney to talk about how we deal with this, the recusal situation. Okay, mm-hmm. So the idea is to take one final vote at the next meeting on the report, but the report contains recommendations that a number of you have recused yourselves on. And so I think what we're going to end up having to do is that those of you who recuse yourselves on specific things will have to recuse yourself from the final vote. Mm-hmm. Because we've done everything unanimously, it really doesn't change anything as far as I know. I think another option, which I have to ask the city attorney, is that I think we could go through and vote on section by section, so that if, we vote on the introduction section, and if you have no conflict, you can vote, and if you have a conflict, you recuse yourself. Then we move on to the housing section, and if you have a conflict in the housing section, you don't vote, and we could do that section by section by section. But then my problem with that is that then we don't end up with a final vote on the whole report. Right. It's all report, votes on section by section.
And
so
people
my
bleed
question,
over.
My question is, do we have enough votes if everybody for a quorum, if everybody who recused themselves to one thing or another stepped back, how many does that leave?
Well, that was going to be my question, is if everyone's planning to be here. Because if everyone's planning to be here, we have enough votes. But if two or three people who need to vote and aren't recusing themselves don't come and vote, then we could run into trouble. Yes.
Well, I will be en route from Napa, and I will put the pedal to the metal as much as I can. But and if there's a problem, I'll call you. I don't like voting on section by section because, given the nature of some of the services that some of the folk around the table provide, their services bleed over in more than one section. So I go back to Marcy's vote as a sum totality of a task force. They need to just let us know what would be a core legal quorum in order to get the vote as a whole. I would much prefer that.
Is there a way to find out, and maybe this would just be an exception for that meeting, that people who aren't able to attend could send in their votes or call it? No,
can't do that.
Too bad.
Section ordinance doesn't allow proxy voting.
No proxy voting at all.
Yeah.
So, for example, if I'm in the car and you guys are voting, I can't.
You've got to be present.
What's the date?
All right.
It's March 25th. So is anybody else here not planning on being at the March 25th meeting? Okay, and who's missing?
Also, Molly's absent today.
So, I think Molly told us she wasn't going to be at this meeting, but I'm pretty. But she's one of the people that recuses herself because of the housing, her housing stuff. So, if she's not here, it wouldn't affect the vote. So,
so we
have enough votes. If everyone's going to be here, we have enough votes.
And we're assuming quorum is probably 50% plus one, right?
The quorum is 50% of voting. People eligible to vote.
Plus one.
So
we need nine, basically.
That's one of the things I have to ask the city attorney is that how exactly to count this situation. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure if you count
if it's 50% attending or plus one or 50% of the total plus one.
And is that all we're going to be doing at that last meeting? So those of us who are recusing ourselves probably don't even need to show up, is that it?
Well, okay, so that's a good question. Shame on you. You should go. So the other thing that's going to happen at the meeting is that Supervisors Wiener and Campos have requested to attend the meeting to address this group. And what they're going to be doing is making an announcement about the legislative and budget work that they're going to do for us. So, and it's important to them to come and be here and make that presentation to this group. And they want to congratulate us on our work, too. So one of the other questions I was going to ask, because the board has its own meeting in the afternoon, that it would probably be better for the supervisors if we started that meeting at 5 o'clock instead of 4 o'clock.
On the 25th.
And the only things on the agenda would be, you know, hearing from the supervisors and then a final vote on the report.
So you're thinking it's like an hour meeting? I hate to jinx it, but...
Yeah, yeah, that's what I would think.
Might we want to invite the mayor?
Sure, yeah, we definitely invite the mayor, sure.
Should we dress up? I have a lovely green frock for this.
Yes, I want to see your frock. So...
Do you want to see his frock?
Frock. He has a lovely frock.
Frock. I thought you said frog. I didn't...
We'll see his frog. Okay, so is a 5 o'clock start okay with everyone if that works out best for the supervisors?
Mm-hmm. Sounds fine.
Yeah, sounds
very good, actually.
Sounds good.
Okay, so...
So it might be 5, it might be 4, depending on what they say.
Right. Okay. As of now, it's 4. It might be 5.
I came in late, so you may have all done this,
yeah.
But
yeah.
You put that together.
Yeah. Well, you guys wrote it.
Yeah, but it was awesome, and I want to thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm officially smiling now. I think we've done a great job. I'm going to pat ourselves on the back a lot in the next few weeks. So thank you very much. Any other questions?
No.
Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Larry moves. Second. Seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
See you in 2 weeks.
Bill, I'm going to pull the definitive foundation list, the donor list.